What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Chrissy Chaos. We were supposed to have TT Jerry as my guest, but he couldn't make it because the parole officer said he got in trouble. So instead, we got the next best thing, Vinny's ex-husband, Tristan Rega.
What's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing? I'm happy that the first time you came on the show, you have a picture of Osama bin Laden on your shirt. Let's talk about it.
Sagaru, bro.
You don't know who this guy is?
Oh, Sagaru.
Is that Sagaru?
Is that the one from the Wild Wild West documentary? What's the one with the Oshu guy? Oshu.
Same people.
Sagaru is like a, he's like a good one.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, Jazz. Vinny. Hey, we're doing the pod.
We started.
Is she on camera? Wow. We're doing the pod.
I'm almost on my playlist. I have to finish this.
Are you doing, is those Raycons?
There you go.
Raycon.com if you want to sponsor Chrissy Chaos. Raycon.com/heybabe. No, seriously, we're doing the podcast. You remember Tristan. Dude, so thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about a lot of, you know, we're going to talk about cryptocurrencies and wild stuff and wild stories later on. But first, we got to talk about what we share. Our kids, our brother and sister.
Yeah, they are. So we're basically going to know each other for the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives.
Whether we like it or not.
Here's what the movie and the sitcom is going to be. Eventually, Vinny, we call Jasmine Vinny on the show because we used to call her on the other History Hyenas podcast. I used to do the History Hyenas. We called her The Situation and she didn't really like that so much. So I said, you know what? On this show, we're going to make it better. I'm going to call you another member of the Jersey Shore and we pick Vinny Guadagnino. But when the eventual day comes where Vinny throws me out once and for all, you and I are going to be together. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to adopt your kid and you're going to adopt mine.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
That's what it is. And I think that it's a good thing because what you and I, when we first met, because let's take him through the whole story. So
you want to go from the beginning?
From the beginning. So what was it? You know, so when I first met Vinny, it was in the summertime, went on a couple of dates. And next thing you know, she's having a kid. And so we're like, and it's my child. Where are you going? Is this where you walk out? You done? All right. I'll see you. Whatever. You want to go sit over there? You're going to go? All right. I got rice balls and stuff and salmon from ALC. Shout out Italian. I don't know, or ALC grocery in Bay Ridge. It's something. I call it the Italian grocery. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know what ALC stands for. But go. Can you turn the music off? So when we meet, you know, Vinny's pregnant with my eventual child, Delilah, and you and I first meet for the first time. And at first it's like, listen, here's the wild thing. You ready for this? We're about to tell you. There's parts of me now, as I've gotten on and gotten comfortable with everything, I came out of the gate and I liked Vinny so much, but when she's like, oh, I got another kid. She was like, I have a kid. That was a shock to me because I never dealt with a woman or liked a woman like I liked Vinny when she had another child. And I'm like, oh, fuck, man, I'll always be in second place. And then I was like, oh, who's the baby daddy or who's like your ex? And she showed me a picture. I was like, wow. At that time, I think you were making steroids in your bathroom and you were jacked with fucking tattoos.
I lost a lot of weight.
I was like, I'm always going to be second fiddle to this guy. So what's the only way to level up? I'm going to get her pregnant. And then I was like, now we're the same guy. And that's what I did.
Well, you're 6'5", blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, how can I compete with that? Anything under 6 foot, I mean, you can't.
Some people might call it a Nazi. I'll call it a Viking. Shout out Viking yogurt.
The Aryan race. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, dude. So I remember being like, fuck. But then as time went on, I was like, oh. This is all good. Like this is all because what I started to happen was because in the beginning I was like so intimidated by the fact that I'll always be because I'm an only child, had never been with a woman who I was always used to being in relationships where like we put each other first, the boyfriend and the girlfriend. But it's like, dude, now I'm in third place right now. It's like she's got the kid, then she's got the connection to her son's father. What about me? So I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm not pulling out. Yeah.
Another one on the way.
And we got another one on the way, due date July 4th. And when that baby comes out, we're going to see who the real father is. You take the paternity test. Is it mine or is it yours? Okay. Vinny laughed. Are you sweating because of the spin bike or because you're mad at me? Vinny's not going to get on the mic on this one, but she will eventually. So I was like, man, it'd be great to come on the podcast because now our relationship has evolved so much that now anytime the couple of times where Vinny has thrown me out and I've literally had to move out and we've broken up, you've been my first call on how to get through.
Come on the couch.
And you've always had good sound advice. But now Vinny has let me back into her life in more ways than one, and I'm not going anywhere, babe.
That's good.
Okay, now she is going to say something into the mic. Now, do you want to say something? Okay, Vinny doesn't want to be on this one. Anything you want cut out, we can cut out, okay? You know that. All right.
I don't mind what you have to say. I'm fine. It's fine.
Are you sure?
All good, babe.
Yeah, I don't like my back being turned here.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
You're not saying anything stupid, though. He is.
Yeah, no, but Vinny, but Vinny.
I'm treading lightly.
Here's the thing.
If people can see on the camera, they can see through my eyes. I'm going to be treading very lightly.
Well, see, here's the thing,
just
Vinny.
Just go ahead. Just go crazy. And whatever happens, happens.
See, whatever happens, happens.
Well, look at that. Yeah, whatever happens, happens. Boom, there you go. 6 months in.
And that comes from someone who doesn't like manual labor.
So here's the thing. So here's the thing, though, with Vinny is the only people, you know, because sometimes like that, look, because your back is turned. So you have more experience than me. Your back is turned. You're like a ninja. You're the master. I'm the pupil when it comes to Vinny, because you've been there 10 years. You know what's going on. So you're like, hey, I'm treading lightly, where I still get myself into trouble. And you're like,
I throw in the white flag, man. I don't have no more fight in me.
I know,
I have
dude.
No fight in
and
me.
And only when she looked at me, the way she looked at me, just knowing that she was like, everything is fine. Your back was turned, but only two people on the planet who really would know that everything is not fine is me and you. We know that it's not.
Wait a second. Stop making me sound like a psychopath.
No. We're just kidding.
I'm not a murderer.
No, you're great. No, you know how many times?
I throw things from time to time.
We always talk about what an excellent mother you are. Dead serious. Anytime we've had a true man-to-man conversation, be like, we love what a great mom.
And even though
the children.
We do joke, like I always tell him, like, I don't let anybody or wouldn't let anybody
never
say anything
negative.
It's between us two, and that's kind of really what it is when we joke about it.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I don't give the right to anybody to say anything.
You guys are getting disgustingly mushy.
No, I'm being serious. Like, yeah, well, wait. You better go in the back because it's about to start. We're going to get naked and get out.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
This going on OnlyFans. We got one of those.
I know. It's one of those because I remember when you did say that, you were like, you know, man, I don't let anybody, I don't let anybody say a bad word about the mother to our children. And I was like, oh, shit, I hope he doesn't see my Twitter. I'm the only one who's been saying anything.
The way I look at it is like, listen, because, you know, my mother raised us single mother and I didn't, you know, I would want my father to protect my mother.
Of course.
You know, so everything I think of is through my kid.
And by the way, and your mom's great lady. Your mother has been so kind to my daughter, and every time we met mom, she's been awesome.
Delilah, everybody loves Delilah.
Yeah, and everybody loves Tristan. You know, but when you say that, like, you know, like coming from the point of view of, hey, the children first, like that's where the connection is, because that's that in the beginning, like that was hard for me because I just had never been there before. I was like, wait a second, even like being a stepfather, I wasn't sure, like there would be times where I would come in and not, I wasn't doing it on purpose, where I would just like give Delilah a hug or just be like, oh, I got this for you, because, and it's nothing against Tristan, it's just like that connection you have. And I'm like, but it was throughout you and I getting to know each other, I was like, wait a second, our kids are the connection is through the children. Your son is not my stepson. He is my daughter's brother. So the connection is through the kids. And now it's like, you know, now I treat, and now it's just like the exact, anything that is done for, I jump in front of a bullet for Tristan and Delilah as the same. You know, what are you shaking your head for, Vinny?
I don't know if Tristan would do the same for either.
No way. I know. One time, it's so funny. I come in. I it was like a week ago. I came in and I picked Tristan up, like, you know, like gave him like a body slam and threw him down. He was like, "Can you even do that? You're not my dad." He was like, as if to say, like, I did something illegal. I was like, "Oh shit, I don't know. Can I not?" But it's been one of those things where I think, you know, it's important for. Because so how many people, especially now with the divorce rate, especially in this country or wherever abroad, it's like so many people are dealing with co-parenting situations. Yeah. And so many people, like, will just to get their rage out against their spouse, don't realize how much they're affecting their children.
Yeah.
Or just to be like, oh, you can't see your ex, you know, even though you have a child together. And it just causes so many problems where if you just come the way, I feel like three of us are raising two kids and now three kids, you're gonna have to raise my unborn child.
Hey, bring them over. You guys want to go out for a weekend? I'll babysit.
Are you thinking it's a boy?
Huh?
You thinking it's a boy?
Because
you said him.
I did say that. I said bring him over.
So you think it, because she thinks it's a boy too. But I don't know. No, she doesn't want to participate.
You're going to have all girls. You're going to have like seven more girls.
Yeah, dude. I'm also going to probably have to sleep by your house tonight because I can already tell Vinny's pissed. What do you got, Pimpy?
It's up on the screen here.
Okay, a thruple, which is what we are, a thruple is a relationship between three people who have all unanimously agreed to be in a romantic, loving relationship together with the consent of all people involved. You may also hear a thruple referred to as a three-way relationship, triad, or closed triad.
Why does it only show three women there?
I know, it's fucked up. Dude, I'm Christy Thruples. It's what, yeah, I think in a way, that's what we are with the kids. I feel like, I just felt like it's blossomed into like a really good thing.
It's better. You know? I think it's better. It's a better environment. It's not hostile. Because listen, I wasn't always like this. And situations I know from growing up, seeing friends, family, or just other people that have, you know, different fathers, mothers, yeah. and nobody gets along.
Right.
Fighting.
Yeah.
Arguing. Like. And the kids get affected. They don't care. They don't know anything.
Yeah,
they don't know why people are fighting. It's like we don't. They just want everybody to get along.
No, dude. I have friends of mine who they're like, oh, I've never met my ex's kids, or I've never met. I'm like, why would you do like?
Yeah.
It should be like, oh, there's a picture up. We won't show it because the kids' face are in it. But there's a picture of me, Tristan, and both our kids, Delilah and Tristan Jr. at freaking Medieval Times 2 years ago for my birthday.
That's when we went on our first date and we fell in love.
Yeah, the first day we fell in love. I literally had a birthday outing with my girlfriend's ex-husband and her kids, and it was great. I'm saying ex-husband, it's really ex-boyfriend. Nobody was married, but it's just easier to say husband. It's just easier to say husband and wife. What'd you say? Nobody wants to marry. What are you talking about?
Stay tuned. Marriage is overrated.
Hey, by the way, stay tuned for the Patreon, patreon.com/ChristyComedy. I'm proposing to Vinny. Yeah, that's that. Come on, you're giving away the fucking joke. Go back inside. No, dude. So yeah. So I think it's good because, and in the beginning, it was funny because in the beginning, when we first started to get to know each other, it was like a little like touch and go. And then I was already doing stand up. You started doing stand up comedy. Yeah. And it was funny because it looked like, you know, I was like, oh, he's doing stand up comedy now. And some of the people in my life,
I was doing it obviously because I was trying to win the love back of Jasmine to prove to her that I could be the best comedian ever. Obviously.
Well, I kind of felt like I was like, because people like, oh, people were like, I remember somebody in my life was like, oh, isn't that weird that he's doing stand up now? Because you do stand up. I'm like, you think that's weird? I had a child because he had a child. You know, that's the craziest thing. I have
to deal with that. You know, people thinking that it's like, I've always been the person, I don't really care what people think,
which is good.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm always like that. And I understand people do think that. So to me, it's funny.
Right.
Because I only, you know, as a person, you only know what's in your mind, right?
Yeah.
You could tell nobody really knows, right?
Right.
So I know in my mind, you know,
right,
why I started, when I started.
Right.
You know, and my friend started a year before that, and I was supposed to go into it. So there's other things that it was timing.
Yeah.
That came together. And I'm like, you know what? I was really not really doing anything. Like,
right.
And I never chased a dream that
right.
I had or anything
right.
like that. And I, you know, because at that age, you're like, is it too late? Because you start thinking like, it's too late to start anything
right.
and be
no.
anything like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, you know what? I'm gonna do this, and
right.
I'm gonna start to do this because at least I could at least show my son when he gets older to say that listen, I did something and I at least chased something, even though it was later in my life, that you could
right.
still go after something.
Yeah, that's what I think I think that's awesome. I think that you and I, this is what we should do, dude. When the world opens up again in 2022, we should do the Thruple tour where we're going out, we're on tour.
Yeah,
Vinny starts the show with the freaking fitness class. Everybody gets out there and we do some type of fitness class. You come out, do 20 minutes of stand up. I come out,
I'm
do 20
it.
Minutes of stand up. Then we all three of us come out and we do a Thruple therapy session. We get Dr.
Let's
Drew
it.
Out there. And
well,
he talks
we'll
about our problems.
Listen, and we'll have people that have problems with baby mama and
that's
baby daddy drama. Bring them. Bring everybody.
That's what it is.
During the show, they could sit on opposite sides so there's no fighting during
yes.
the show.
Yes.
Right? And then we bring them up afterwards and we talk them out. We knock some sense into them.
Absolutely, dude. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to freaking do. And that's
Bro,
a
this,
beautiful
this whole
pimp.
World
yeah.
can be a better place if everybody just get along, move in together. That's it.
Dude, how beautiful is it, Pimpy, that is actually a tour that could probably work?
Let's just do
I'm
it.
I'm in.
I say we do it, dude. I say and Pimp will film it, of course. Homeless Pimp will film it.
Yeah, I'll film all the backstage drama.
Yeah, all the drizama. I know. And you know, look, dude, I felt like because, you know, the first reason why, you know, when I was like, oh, you should come on the podcast, because my whole thing is like in with this podcast is I'll definitely have like, you know, comedians that I know on, you know, and stuff. But it's like eventually it's like we all do each other's podcasts. It's like, how many times are you going to tell these same fucking stories? I was like, let's get out to people, you know, it's like different, like, like get inside like life a little bit. And I, you know, T.T. Jerry, you must have met him before. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he was in jail when you.
No, I don't know if I actually.
Ever met him?
I met him because
he was in prison. He was probably he's been in prison on and off for 20 years. But he was going to come on the podcast. But literally, dude, he came like the first day of prison. I was sitting on this couch. He was in prison for 10 years. Knock on the door. It's him, Liz Abuelita, Vinny's mom, and they're at the door. And Jasmine comes from the back with a bag of her clothes and gives it to T.T. Jerry. He came directly here to get her clothes so he could get dressed.
He fit. I don't know.
No, they fit. Yeah, no. I don't know. They probably didn't fit, but he wiggled his.
I don't think I've actually met. I know of him, but I didn't.
No, we got to meet him. That'd be great. I hope he shows up.
Is he coming?
No. He said he can't come because he's. I don't know. Something with. I don't know actually why he can't come. It's always a different excuse, but. Hopefully he's okay. Shout out T.T. Jerry. Hope you're good and healthy. But dude, so we were talking about before the podcast, because I was mentioning to you about I went wild yesterday and I sold my Bitcoin, which was a stupid thing to do. And I just went nuts and I sold it. But then I texted you and I was like, yo, I sold my Bitcoin. Good move. And you were like, absolutely not. Because you're the king of crypto. You've had cryptocurrency. You bought cryptocurrency when you had to go on like a black market. Like you could get like human fucking organs.
Pretty much.
And Bitcoin.
Yeah, you had to go to dark alleyway, meet somebody to kind of get Bitcoin.
Seriously, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have emails from way back 2011, 2012. You know, like a year after it came out, I was always into technology. I was always kind of little in the underground.
Right.
I kind of got out of it right before Bitcoin kind of really, like in 2008, 2009, it's when Tristan was coming along, 2009, 2010. So I was kind of like out of touch with what was happening.
Right.
And then, you know, a year or two later goes by and then I see this and I'm like, damn, this is a genius idea. And I was all for it. I understood the technology. I'm like, this is a great idea. So I wanted to get in on it. You know, my life, the way my life has been up and down is like, I can never hold my position. Cause I'm like always paycheck to paycheck. I live a little too fast sometimes.
Well, that's fine though.
And I always had the idea of, I'm going to hold on to this. But then 2 months later, my car breaks down and I'm spending 2 Bitcoins to fix a radiator.
Right.
So my radiator costs $60,000.
Yeah. It's genuinely $60,000 radiator.
$60,000 radiator.
And then you took an Uber here.
Yeah.
Because of that freaking big, I know.
So, and over the years I've had, plenty of these coins that spiked up, but I'm like, I have like a memory of a squirrel as well. So I'll get.
Is that good
coin
or bad? What's the memory of a squirrel meaning? I forget
everything.
Okay.
I forget everything. I'll tuck away. I'll have different coins from different blockchain technology, whatever, and I'll tuck them away. And I had one that spiked up to, I got it at like freaking 2 cents, right?
Right.
And it spiked up to like $4. I had like 10,000 of them.
Right.
I didn't even realize that happened.
Right.
Like years later, I'm looking over the spikes that happened, and I saw the coin that I had in one of my old emails, and I had like 12,000 of them.
Really?
So I missed out on $40,000.
Jesus Christ.
So it's like in my cushion, I had money in it, and I just didn't know.
And you missed on 40K.
Yeah. So, in the end of it, it was like a couple of thousand, but I missed the.
But you just let go. Like that's what I'm, you know, getting to know you over the years. It's like, you just let go. Like, you're just like, hey dude, whatever. Like I noticed even like a couple of years ago, like used to come in, we used to come to the door and you'd have a hat on. Now you just fucking like, hey dude,
whatever.
I'm bald and I love it.
I
spend 6 Bitcoins on a car radiator. Let's just get
and
out
this
there.
Is what happens. This is pretty much what happens.
But I like that attitude, because even me now, you know, with this, because, you know, like I'll tweet things out and people be like, hey, fucking idiot. But I, you know, sold a Bitcoin and I'm thinking like, you know, right now, like, should I get back in? But for me to get back in now, since I sold it yesterday, it's went up $3,000.
Jesus.
I'm like, shit, should I get back in and pay $3,000 to get back in, or just let it go? What is money? It's money. Who cares?
Yeah. Listen, same things happen to me, man. You want to get out and in at the right times and always make the money, but you're never going to win that game because it's going to give you anxiety every day.
Every day.
Because it goes up and down like
can't
insanely.
Imagine. Yeah.
So you're going to be there biting your nails. So it's better just tuck it away a reasonable amount that you don't mind, that you don't need to touch.
Right.
And just put it away.
And just put it away. Because, dude, I've noticed like in literally a day sometimes this thing will swing $5,000 up or down in a fucking day.
Because you got to think in the beginning, there was people that were, it was only a couple of cents. So there's people that have hundreds of thousands, if not maybe millions of Bitcoins.
Right.
Just sitting in wallets. So they could manipulate the market. They're called whales.
Also, how is there so many different cryptocurrencies? That's what we don't understand.
Yeah,
why
we don't
there's
get
so
that.
Many?
Right. So, blockchain technology kind of, I guess, is the underlying technology to all cryptocurrencies, right? So once that idea came out, Bitcoin, right? Other people were like, oh, I could do this because it was open source technology.
Right.
So other people kind of added their own features to the blockchain, maybe changed algorithms or consensus protocols like these to speed up the network. To there's different things to add and take because nothing is a perfect thing.
Right.
So everybody, you know, people started creating their own thing.
Right.
So like this, the next one was like the Ethereum was like the next big one after Bitcoin because it had more of a purpose behind it.
Right.
But Bitcoin was literally just basically a ledger, like a public ledger of transactions of, you know, which wallets have what Bitcoin.
Right.
So you own your own wallet, your own Bitcoin. So you're able to transact on the ledger and send a Bitcoin.
Dude, I just watched this documentary called End of the Road when money became worthless. And it was based off the 2008 economic crisis. And this thing was made in 2012. Okay. And I just watched it on YouTube the other day. But this was made, so it's 2021 now. You know, the pandemic and all that, they hadn't even factored any of that in. It wasn't going to happen for another 10 years. They said in that documentary, they were like, even the US dollar right now. So I didn't know anything about, like, do you know about the Bretton Woods system?
No.
You've heard of that? So the Bretton Woods system, this is wild. This is the Chris DiStefano section of the show. So I do a history section.
Teach me.
We do a mental health section called Anxiety Tuesday, a history section, Chris DiStefano, and then an excerpt from the book, The 48 Laws of Power. By the way, Tristan brought a book too that's fucking wild. It's about ancient alien races.
That also goes into the 48 powers
The 48 Laws of Power. So the Bretton Woods system was, after the wars, after World War II, we basically, everybody got together, the entire world. This is fucking wild.
By the way, World War II was over technology, but that's some.
We're going to get to that. I'm sure we're going to talk about ancient alien races and the Nazis were aliens and all that stuff, which is going to get wild. It's going to get explosion. Dude, Tristan's mind. I'm telling you, when Tristan texts me,
I think you get mad because you're like, bro, why even, like, when I text
get
you
mad?
About,
no,
like,
dude, my balls get blown off.
You're giving me more anxiety. Like, I text you stuff, I'm making you more nervous.
Dude, almost anytime you see me post an Anxiety Tuesday video on my Instagram, it's usually coming off the heels of a text message from Tristan because he sends me some wild shit. And then I do sit and read it. And sometimes I can't even respond because I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? I'm like, do I just kill myself? So this Bretton Woods system, what it was all the world leaders, like all the countries, everybody got together in freaking New Hampshire, of all places, New Hampshire in 1945, and they basically decided that the U.S. dollar would be the thing that backs gold. They were like, the U.S. dollar was so strong at the time that all the world's currency, that's another reason why it became a superpower, is because our dollar, the United States dollar, was the thing backing the gold. And then that's how shit worked. And anytime somebody wanted, you know, like money to loan money, we, you know, supposedly send them gold, and we were giving out gold and then getting money back, and the same thing was, like, you know, a simple system. But then in 1971, Richard Nixon, Tricky Dick, said no more gold exchange for the money. We can't do that anymore. And he created, like, the system that we have now, which is like you could just make paper money,
print it out.
It's not
monopoly,
backed by anything.
Monopoly money.
All the gold got moved to Fort Knox. I think it was always there, but, like, really, you know, like the Fort Knox thing became like, okay, all our gold is in Fort Knox. And now countries were able to basically be like, oh, instead of giving you gold, the government would give you a government bond. Like, we borrow money, and instead of getting the gold, what do we got? Oh, Pimp just pulled something up. In contrast to commodity-based money like gold coins or paper bills redeemable for precious metals, fiat money is backed entirely by the full faith and trust in the government that issued it. So one reason this has merit is because governments demand that you pay taxes in the fiat money it issues. So that's what I was going to get to, is fiat money, which, by the way, yesterday we did my other podcast, Hey Babe, with Sal Vulcano. Shout out Sal Vulcano. Shout out Hey Babe. We were talking about fiat money, and we had no idea what it was. It was like, is this money to buy fucking small cars? I don't know what fiat money is, but now I understand that fiat money is basically what Bitcoin is. It's not backed by anything, but it's also basically what the US dollar is, because what has happened since 1971 and Richard Nixon, there's no gold backing the dollar anymore. So now when we're talking about, you know, these $1 trillion stimuluses because of the pandemic, it's genuinely just a guy, like you said, on a ledger on a computer, just wiring, that's not real money. It's just putting numbers, $3 trillion into another bank account in the Federal Reserve,
in a room somewhere,
and then it just gets, and then we just send it out to the people, and the post office picks up the letters and it's not real.
So
people who are like, fuck Bitcoin, it's crazy. It's like the US dollar is even crazier. So I was watching this documentary, and again, this was 10 years ago, this guy Mike Maloney, who was an advisor to the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, was fascinating in this documentary, and he was saying like you need to invest in like precious metals, like silver and stuff like that, or if you can get your hands on some gold, because he was like, eventually, he said at that point, after the 2008 economic crisis, which he said really was never really gotten over, like it was 4 or 5 years after it happened, he was still like, yo, we people feel this impending doom and something really bad's going to happen. And again, 10 years before the pandemic even happened, he was like, if the unemployment rate, which at that time they were saying was like 6%, but it was really like 10%. They were like, if it ever goes over 15 to 20%, we have big problems. Now the unemployment rate's like 50% or something like that. And he was like, once that happens, he was like, it's the beginning of the end. Eventually the US dollar, what's going to happen is you're going to go into hyperinflation, just like Germany did, because we're just printing now more money than we have. And if it ever comes out that we don't have the gold to back, because right now people think
I've heard that we don't have it. I don't, right. But what do I know? I've never been there.
I'm doing a podcast.
Can you go there? Like, can you visit it?
You can't go to Fort Knox.
So you can't just be like, hey, can I just see and check to make sure it's there? Like, dude, they don't allow you to just view it.
You're not allowed to go to Fort Knox at all. And that's why, because now it's simply like this. So what this documentary said was, if Saudi Arabia wants to borrow money from us and we say it's backed off gold, the gold never leaves Fort Knox. It literally just gets moved from one heap of gold that says United States to the other heap of gold that says Saudi Arabia, but nobody sees the gold. So the truth is this, if that is true, that there is no gold backing our US dollar, then what the US government, what the world government is a humongous Ponzi scheme. We keep offering money, they keep loaning out money and then having to get more money to pay back the loans. It's a Ponzi scheme, it's not real. So what Michael Malarkey is my investment guy. Michael Maloney is a guy you should be following on Twitter, or I just followed him, and I was hoping, because I just sold my Bitcoin yesterday, I was hoping that after watching that documentary, he would say nothing about Bitcoin and he would be negative on Bitcoin. The very first fucking tweet was, this is all going to shit. If you're going to do anything, take your money out of Charles Schwab, which is where I have it, and put it into Bitcoin. And I just sold my Bitcoin.
I can't believe you did that, man.
I know, dude.
You
panicked?
You just did it? You didn't even check with anybody? You didn't ask anybody?
I think we should explain.
Okay, so what happened was, the reason why, so the guy who's been advising me on Bitcoin was my guest on the show last week. His name's Tank Sinatra. Shout out, Tank. And he told, and I have another friend, Don DePetta, a.k.a. Donnie Tsunami. Don told me to keep it. Tank said, he was like, dude, I'm selling all my Bitcoin, because yesterday was at $47,000. He was like, it's going to go down to 30 in the next month. So I sold them all. So then I sold mine. But what Tank didn't tell me was that he bought his Bitcoin at like $5,000. So he had already made so much money.
So he profited.
Where I just bought it a week ago. And I was just up 10 grand. And now I just sold it for no reason.
And I think you're overlooking the TikTok video that inspired him to sell.
Oh, yeah. The reason why he tells me this after I had already pressed, it says on Coinbase, once you press this button, it is irreversible. I had already pressed it. And I'm like, where are you getting this knowledge from? I thought he was going to say Michael Maloney or some other big investment firm. He was like, oh, I saw a video on TikTok about trusting your gut. I was like...
But can you explain the video? Because the video's nuts that he listened to this.
What was the video?
It was some like lady, some like pretty much Instagram model who was saying... gut feeling is yourself in the future time traveling to your stomach to give you a bad vibe.
Yeah.
Is this what's going on TikTok now?
This what's going on TikTok. And I know I told you that we were going to get a big house and your son was going to finally have his own bedroom with lights, but it's not, because I sold the Bitcoin.
Oh my God, you panic sold, man.
We can't do that. Listen, now we're going to have to put our minds together and get that fucking Bitcoin
back.
We'll
get more Bitcoins.
Oh, of course, Vinny just walked back in. You're right. What do you have to say? Vinny has more money in Bitcoin than I do now. Vinny did not sell. Vinny's got our money in Bitcoin.
There you go. I say put everything in crypto. I'd sell my house if I had one.
Right.
But I don't have one.
But you'd sell your house.
I have nothing to sell. I would sell everything, but I have nothing to sell.
You could sell that ass.
I have one question, because all these like fake coins pop up. Like how, like even Snoop Dogg has his own coin line.
Yeah, anybody.
What's the point of those?
Well, that's the thing. You can't, what's the point? Whatever the point they want it to be.
But like there's Trump coin. There's all these different coins.
It's anybody could create a coin. It's pretty much you're creating your own ledger. But it's like who's going to... It has to become popular or have some type of utility. So some of the blockchain technology has actual utility behind it. Like one of my picks, I'm not a financial advisor. I got left back in eighth grade. Don't do anything that I did. Don't listen to anything I say. However, there's one called New Cypher, right?
This is Chrissy Chaos. I say do it. Go and New Cycle.
Don't I am not to be blamed for anything. But there's one called New Cypher, right? So I like to read behind the technology, and if it does something that sounds interesting, then I'm like, okay, that might be something. So for instance, this one New Cypher there's a problem on the blockchain. This might be too technical. I don't know. There's a problem with like scaling encryption and private data and whatnot, right? So they solve that problem with their blockchain technology. So when I think a certain technology solves a problem, it's going to do well,
right?
But there's also ones that just come out and they're pretty much Ponzi schemes,
right?
Like which is fine. Listen, you want to make money on that, you could make money on
it. Are those NFTs?
NFTs are like, oh my well, there's, God.
So now
there's,
Vinny's, there's now non- Vinny's researching crypto.
There's fungible, like, well, there's fun. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look at this cactus. You know what that cactus needs? Blue Chew. That's got a limp dick, and we don't have to do that anymore. I'm telling you, since I've had Blue Chew, you have to see how rock hard I've been all the time. Vinny, every time I walk out of the house, Vinny tries to hose it down with a fire extinguisher, but she can't get it down. I'm rock hard because of BlueChew.com. I'm telling you, if you guys are out there, anybody having any type of erectile dysfunction or anything like that, BlueChew.com is the thing for you. I've had it. I used to be, yes, absolutely. There are people, BlueChew.com, sir. BlueChew.com. Here's what you got to do. No, I'm telling you, use the promo code CHAOS. CHAOS. You're going to get all you got to do is pay the $5 shipping. That's all you got to do. A consultation with the doctor on Zoom. They'll never know. Your wife will never know that it's BlueChew. She'll never know you have erectile dysfunction. She'll never know. It comes in different packaging. It's discreet packaging. She'll find out later on. Oh, she gonna know because you're gonna be hard as a rock. You're gonna be a human cactus, dude. BlueChew.com, promo code CHAOS. First month free.
But that's a cure. But that's a cure. Coke did.
Yo, does it cure Coke?
That's a real test.
Yo,
that's the real test.
Look at that. I feel like the ads was the show.
Yo, honestly, man, you know, because you got a very manicured head, but how are your balls? Are they nice and manicured?
Yeah, not bad. So I use the thing that's dirtbag about it, I'll use the same beard trimmer to go down there.
You don't got
to
do that anymore, bro. I got you covered. Manscaped.com. They got the best ball trimmers. I'm telling you, your balls are gonna feel like $1 million. You don't have to live a life like that anymore.
Oh.
All you gotta do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code CHAOS, CHAOS, and you're gonna get 20% off.
That's I'll give you a ball. I'll trim
it. Dude, I swear to God, here's what I want you to do. You're gonna go to manscaped.com, you're gonna put in the code CHAOS, you're gonna prove to me that you put in CHAOS, you're gonna get 20% off, then you're gonna come back onto the podcast and on the Patreon, I'm gonna shave your balls. What do you think of that?
All right, that sounds great. I'll do that on Tuesday because I'll go on the World Wide Web. At the library next to my house.
It's called the lawnmower. They got the lawnmower 3.0. You can scape, you know, all that. Because, dude, I got to be honest with you. The thing is with me is because before I found Manscaped, I would always nick my balls. And then I would, you know, I'd get dirt under my fingernails. And I kept getting a testicle infection. Jesus. But now I don't get testicle infections at all anymore because the Manscaped buzzer is nice and clean. The lawnmower 3.0 is the best thing I ever had. I'm telling you, you got to get one, too. Even if you don't have a dick and balls, listen, it's 2021. You can do some type of surgery. And change them. There you go. Oh, sorry. The kids are here. Sorry about that. But go to manscaped.com. Promo code CHAOS. CHAOS. Yeah. Manscaped.com. Oh, boy. What a time for the family to start walking in. Manscaped.com. Promo code CHAOS.
So if you don't have ball or this, what is it like? It's like a Ken doll?
I watch you.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm a comedian. Yeah. Chris DiStefano. Thank you.
I watch your stuff.
All right. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. Go to manscaped.com.
Not now.
No, promo code CHAOS. Well, when you get home.
Yeah, his wife is furious.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that guy's wife is, she is like, who is that? Why do you listen to his comedy? His wife and Vinny just shared a look like, girl, we know your pain. They know exactly. Yeah.
I never need to shave my actual balls, though. This is the top. I never have to shave my actual balls.
I got
to
shave my, bro, my balls stay
my
hairy.
My balls are smooth like my calf muscles.
NFT is a non-fungible token. So
means it's no fun?
Yeah, pretty much. Those those mean like they're not identical. Fungible tokens are identical, like coins. You trade them. They're okay.
Well, wouldn't
the same
that
thing.
Be like the Snoop Dogg coin or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
non-fungible tokens is like
or like Dogecoin.
It's like a. Like a trading card almost kind of thing, like a digital trading card where it's a specific it's a specific and unique to the person that owns it. Like so, it could be a contract, it could be a painting, like art.
That's non fungible tokens.
That you could make a fungible token to say it. So you could claim you know, because anything that's in your wallet is yours to claim. You prove it. You own it. It's yours.
Right.
So if somebody creates, like, you know, NFTs, like a batch of cards, like they have Pokemon NFTs now. They have crypto cats.
Right.
I have a bunch. Me and Tristan had we have a bunch of crypto kitties, and we. And we
can maybe Tristan, would you like to get on the mic and explain NFTs? And give it a shot.
But you know, the cool thing, this is the way the future is going to be, because they're making it in video games. Because now in video games, you can actually own an item. Like, you could get an item and then trade it with somebody for
like
real,
a digital art.
Yeah. And you could trade it between people. So that's kind of.
But
what
we're not
NFT
there
is.
Yet. Like a digital, like a art, like a Picasso art piece, or whatever, go for whatever. I don't know, $1 million. No digital art is going for that yet. But we will get to that point, or it has already.
I think a crypto kitty sold for like 200,000. I don't know who's buying it. I mean, none of mine are worth that much.
Does he have a 200,000 crypto kitty? Because if Tristan Jr., if you have a $2,000 crypto kitty,
it's
200,000, we could get that house, buddy. Because stepdad doesn't have bitcoins anymore, but we can sell you crypto kitties. He said no.
So this is like social media money.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everything's going digital. As you know, you can fight it all you want. This is it's going there. So,
but there's no, like with social media, we now figured out what sucks. Do we know what sucks about Bitcoin yet?
I mean, I guess there's people that have their ideologies about it because it's slower. So Bitcoin, I guess, is more, I would say, a store of value instead of using it to transact every day because it's so volatile. And the transaction times for like a transaction to be confirmed takes longer.
Right.
So it's like,
so
I don't
that's
know,
why you'll
10,
see big ups and
minutes.
Downs, because if somebody just put $1 billion in Bitcoin yesterday, it's not going to go right up.
Yes and no. Yeah, because I mean, because they get confirmed within like an hour, like a full. So everything gets transferred, but it takes like a couple minutes
to
confirm.
But why is it so volatile? Like my question is like somebody just, you know, they said, you know, Elon Musk put in $1.5 billion, and then they said somebody else just put in $10 billion or whatever. They're saying Apple, if Apple turns around and puts in $5 billion, like wouldn't that just all shoot it to the moon? Like how could it go down from there is my question.
Because there's so many people that are selling at the same time. Because it's like, it's pretty much a global. It's like it's turning into like a global currency in a way.
So
you have the people that are mining, that they get into Bitcoin, they drop, they're selling it. People that have it from, you know, there's people that day trade, and that market's open 24/7. It's
constantly,
not.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know anything about like the regular stock market. I tried it like a week ago, 2 weeks ago for the first time, and I called up my friend. I'm like, my account says -$62. I'm like, I put $200 in, and I sold the stock. Whatever it was, I think the Nokia one or something, because you know they were saying the Reddit army was saying that was like one of the ones
Nokia
that might go
coming
next.
Back with the chirp.
Yeah, so I was like, you know what, let me get in this one early because you know I remember Nokia and those old brick phones that you
snake
know,
phone.
Yeah, those things lasted. The battery never died. I don't think I've ever charged it. I had it for like 3 years. Those things never died. Yeah.
How the hell did you buy a car with Bitcoin? How do you do that?
How did you do that when you did it a few years ago?
No, I sold the, you could buy, I mean, there's people that.
Yeah, I don't get how to buy stuff with Bitcoin.
Well, I just send you, I send you the Bitcoin, then you give me the title.
But how would I, that's it. So it has to be between, but yeah,
it's from peer to peer. The transactions are peer to peer. So it's like if I give you a dollar bill, you're handing me over the whatever you're selling me.
And you can do that to a dealership where it has to be like.
There's dealers that do take Bitcoin.
There's houses. You could buy houses.
Yeah,
I saw a thing on Atlantic Avenue the other day. It was like, we'll buy your house in Bitcoin. It was in the bad part of Atlantic Avenue, so I wouldn't trust it. But still, I mean, that, you know, it's like, step right up, give me your Bitcoin, and then you've lost a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is. You could pretty much buy anything these days with it. But also it's liquid and there's exchanges, so you could have your money on these exchanges and cash out.
So technically though, then Bitcoin is a fiat currency. It is because fiat currency means it's backed by nothing, a currency that's backed by nothing. So like you know, technically some people say US dollar, but that's debatable. But Bitcoin is not debatable because Bitcoin is just speculative. Bitcoin is only powered by speculations of big billionaires investing money into it.
Well, it's value in the sense that it's rare. There's only going to be ever 21 million Bitcoins. You can't print more. There's nobody in the back office hitting that print button.
Where
to print
gold,
more money.
You can keep finding gold. Elon Musk says you could find gold in the air.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Which is that why I'm coughing a lot?
The precious
it's
metals.
It's not COVID, Mom.
The precious metals are always going to be, you know, something that's going to be worth
So should we buy silver? I feel like Ace Ventura. Give me silver.
I think there's going to be a long time where the digital currency is going to go. Because listen, if the society breaks down and internet falls apart and someone pulls the plug and there's no internet, then the ledgers can't talk to each other. So that breaks down.
So that's
Bitcoin.
How the government, technically, the government could get, because people are like, oh, what about when the government starts regulating cryptocurrencies? They technically could by doing that, right?
Yeah,
and then
Jazz
and
I,
and then Vinny, we're going to start melting the spoons and getting that silver.
That's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. So I kind of understand. It's the same thing with me. Anytime I talk to anybody about Bitcoin, I'm further away from understanding it, but I'm understanding the not understanding it more clearly.
Well, what gives anything value anyway, right? What gives anything value? We used to trade salt. For value.
That's
and
where
cows.
Everything was fought
and
with salt.
Cows and goats.
Now look, now we know what it does to your blood pressure.
We used to trade like a goat and a cow for a woman.
Yes.
To get married. Right? That's what they used to do?
I never trade you in for a goat or a cow, babe. Okay, she's not looking up.
As society changes, different things change that we considered value.
Right. I mean, it does feel like Pokemon cards for adults.
It does. Well, Vin, how do you feel about having your Bitcoin? Do you feel like you're just good, like forgetting about your money?
I don't actually have a Bitcoin. I just have like money.
But you have money in Chrissy Coinbase.
In like a Bitcoin? I don't know, like a percentage.
You got money in Coinbase.
Those are Satoshis.
Yeah, I also invested in Ethereum.
Yeah, that's like the
silver. What do you think about that?
I call them the gold and silver of like the digital currency.
Right.
Bitcoin, the gold, and like Ethereum, the silver.
Right.
So boom, I got the gold and silver.
You got the gold and silver.
So
what should I do?
Because
now I'm $2,000 down. Should I just put the money that I should I just pay? Like, what do I do now? Now I owned a Bitcoin yesterday.
Buy us a house. That's what you do.
Go
get
all
on
in.
The bike. Can Vinny? Can she mine Bitcoin spinning on that fucking bike?
You could.
I'd like to do
actually,
that.
There's I think there's gym. I think there's like a new technology that's gym that's opening for people to ride like bikes and they're mining.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
There's a thing.
Get an instructor there. You're shooting out of the back of the bike. You're just shooting out Bitcoin. Oh,
look, there you go. Bitcoin.
Oh, look, get lift or die mining. How Fitcoin can make you a Bitcoin fortune at the gym.
There you
go.
I'm in.
We can make coins. You want a Chrissy coin, we can make you a coin.
Let's make a Chrissy coin. By the way, is it up yet? But go follow Vinny if you guys want to get in shape for real. Patreon.com/jazzymethod. Go join her Patreon.
It's not.
Oh, it's not up yet. Forget I said that. Instead, go to patreon.com/ChristyComedy. All right, here. Let's get to the 48 Laws of Power.
Yeah,
so you read this book?
No.
Okay, so the 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. We said every episode for the next 48 episodes, we're gonna talk about one chapter from the book. And I've read the book, but I open it up and we see what's what. So here we go. So Law 22. Law 22 says, you ready for this one? It's a wild one.
Let's
hear it. It says, use the surrender tactic. Transform weakness into power. When you are weaker, never fight for honor's sake. Choose surrender instead. Surrender gives you time to recover, time to torment and irritate your conqueror, time to wait for his power to wane. Do not give him the satisfaction of fighting and defeating you. Surrender first. By turning the cheek, you infuriate and unsettle him. Make surrender a tool of power.
Who wrote that? Sounds like he's like driving the nail in to get revenge. Whoever he's surrendering to.
No, his name's Robert Greene, but the reason why I like this book is because he kind of says things that like are not common. Like nobody would tell everyone, you know, all you ever see on TV is never surrender, never give up. This guy's like, no, absolutely
you
give
have
up
to.
And use it to your advantage. And that's what I've done time and time again. I've just given up and just tried to just, I've walked away from so many things. That's what happened to me yesterday on Bitcoin. I just gave up.
But I'm trying
to use my surrender as a tactic of power. And the reason why I like this book so much is because he always gives an example in history to back up what he says. And so there was this guy, Bertolt Brecht, who was a German writer that was like kind of about like communism in the right after World War II, like 1947, 1948. And he was pro-communism, right? And you couldn't do that. That was illegal, like in America, especially after like, you know, what happened in World War II and Russia about to step up and we're about to just, you know, go into the Cold War. This guy he left Germany. and or somewhere else in Europe and went to Hollywood to try to write movies. And there was like a lot of stuff happening where, like, you know, a lot of Hollywood writers were writing about communism and trying to get it through their movies, trying to like get it into the movies like subtly. So U.S. found out about that. And there was this group called the Hollywood 19. The U.S. rounded them up. And Bertolt was one of them. He rounded all of them up, the Hollywood 19. The U.S. government rounded all the Hollywood 19 up and were going to put them on trial. And, you know, they were going to get deported or in trouble or worse. And all the other people in the Hollywood 19 said, you know what? We're going to show them how stupid they are. We're going to say, you can't do this. We're going to call them out on their bullshit. And Bertolt was like, no, let's go. He was like, I'm going to go the opposite way. He's like, I know we're all smarter than them, but why do that? They have us by the balls. They're the U.S. government. Why not just be polite and bow down and say, no, you got the wrong guy, blah, 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 blah. So the 18 of them did their plan, and they all got deported and ridiculed, and their movies never did anything because they were just the country was like, fuck them. Where Bertolt played the opposite card. He played surrender and weakness, and they helped him get out of the country safely, and they allowed him to years come back and make all these movies and write TV shows and no problems at all.
There you go. I think I applied that. I must have applied that in my life, because there was a time in my life where I had to just surrender.
Right.
When I was, you know, dealing with, I went to the hospital because I've having chest pains, anxiety, dealing with stuff. And you only have control over the way you feel and think yourself, right? You can't control the way other people think, do, say, whatnot. You can only control yourself. So when you do surrender and not let the stuff bother you, it's not easy.
Right.
Obviously, it's not easy. It's something you have to train yourself to do, but it's always, it's a good way to go. You end up, you live longer.
We have another great example of surrendering at the right time.
Here we go. Pimp pulled up. By the way, Pimp is surrenders to fashion. Pimp is just, he's not a slave to it. He's surrendered to it. Pimp, it doesn't matter if it's 3 degrees or 300 degrees, he's got on corduroy pants. Japan surrenders to the atomic bomb. The end of World War II was pretty harsh to Japan. Its surrender to the Allies had to be unconditional, which must have been a huge bitter pill to swallow for a warrior culture like Japan's. Still, after the Yalta Conference, the Soviet Union was forced to declare war on Imperial Japan in the weeks following the fall of the Third Reich. The Russians quickly moved into Manchuria as the Americans warned of prompt and utter destruction if they didn't give up soon. After mistranslating the Japanese for no comment, the Americans infamously rained nuclear death on Japan, first at Hiroshima and then at Nagasaki. The destruction itself wasn't the biggest aspect of the choice to surrender. U.S. Army Forces General Curtis LeMay had been firebombing Japanese cities for much of 1945. So basically...
Who are these people, man?
It's, I know.
Like, let's go kill...
Well, that's what... I mean, we've talked about this before on the podcast where it's like, really, that's why they bombed Japan. It wasn't about... Japan was ready to give up. They just got nervous when Russia entered the war, and that's why the U.S. dropped two nuclear bombs, because they wanted to show Russia, hey, look at the nuclear power we got. Don't fuck with us next. So war is... All these moves in World War II were really about the next moves.
Pretty
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, look what we could do. It's like going to the gym and benching, like, oh, look, I could lift 300 pounds. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, what's the... Yeah, and it's not doing anything it's really like, for your muscles.
Nobody's
it's too
messing
much.
With you. Just relax with that.
So here, so going back to the law, here's another thing that
is here's one thing real quick though.
Yeah.
About the atomic bomb. See, that's the thing. Walter Russell actually, he gave some information to a scientist back in the day, which led them to like Einstein to discover some of the elements that they use for the atomic bomb. So now it's like by accident of what he taught. That came about, and he actually writes about the atomic. It's called. He has a book called "The Atomic Suicide,"
okay.
where he's, you know, he goes on to say is how humans, like, we're destroying the, like, atomic bombs are the worst thing for the environment that you can do, because it kills, like, life energy.
Yeah. Didn't they say that?
Blowing stuff up. We figure like how we think we're so intelligent, and it's like we invent these things, right?
Right.
And it's like, oh, they're destructive, and it's like, oh, where can we fire this off? It's like children finding these things.
Right, right.
Like, oh yeah, I could create a bomb. Like, where can we
just push a button? They don't know what it does. Well, I think we had talked about Joe Rogan had talked about it, but then I think you and I talked about how they were saying, like, all these alien sightings only started happening after the nuclear bombs were dropped in Japan. Now all of a sudden this, because you believe too that the aliens are just future us, right? That's what you believe? Theory?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know anything, right? So anything that I say, everybody to know, I know nothing, right? I know nothing.
I know.
I don't claim to know anything.
Yeah.
I have information in my head that I've read, so I can only tell you what I maybe believe and what I don't.
Right.
But I definitely do think there's more advanced life. I mean, just look how long the Earth been here. Like, there's so many different versions of history. It's like, I love when people try to claim the experts, right? It's like they write a certain line of history, right?
That's right.
There's millions of different things that happened parallel,
right,
in different countries all over the world,
right,
in parallel. And then for people to be so sure they know what happened in history, there's pyramids in the water. So
right,
there's civilizations that we have no idea anything about. So what we don't know is far greater than what we know.
There it is.
So so it's like the possibility that old aliens, more advanced civilizations existed, even more advanced civilizations than we are now existed at different times is way more probable than not.
Right, right. So you're saying like the history, like things, like history happens and then it gets obliterated and repeated, like the same things keep happening.
Yeah, the Earth is a giant piece of clay. It just keeps going, it's going in and out. That's the tectonic plates that shift whatnot, so everything comes in and out. So it's like you go all the way into, you know, everything gets pushed right in, comes right back out. So it's like, you know, when they talk climate change, all that stuff is like the Earth's going to be fine. It's going to repair itself.
Right.
We're the ones that might not survive from harsh weather conditions.
We're just one living organism on this planet that can get wiped out and come back. Yeah. Well, dinosaurs lived for millions of years. There was no such thing as a human.
Yeah.
What do you got, Pimp?
It's interesting what you said. We kind of do have like an expert problem. How many people you think are
experts? Look what Gary, listen, I don't like to talk. I don't like to talk bad about anybody. Look what Gary V did. And he's a great guy, right? Whatever. Yeah. But now, after Gary V became
so
popular.
Vinny's coming out. Vinny loves Gary V. Take a seat.
I worship Gary V.
Here we go.
Fine.
Like it was 10 years ago. Put it on the podcast. Patreon.com/ChristyComedy.
My only problem with Gary V is that he snowballed an effect of experts.
Right.
Which they watch one 3-minute TikTok. Can TikToks do 3 minutes? I don't know. Is it 60 seconds?
Whatever
don't
it is. Yeah,
I'm a technology guy and I hardly use it.
Dude, I don't know what I'm talking about. I got a penguin on my shirt.
But he, listen, there's experts all over. Everyone, because I had to delete my TikTok because everyone was trying to tell me how to be an expert at something.
Right.
And they're like, I sold one thing. Like, they sell one thing and then they're an expert. They do one thing one time and now they're an expert. And then everybody, I get the intent behind it because sometimes people get excited and they want to teach people something they learned.
Right.
That they learned. And I get that too, but it's like, man,
because people can't see off camera, I'm going to do Vinny's face right now. Exactly. This is true. She's going exactly this. She's going like this.
Yeah.
So she's got. So what's the comment?
Nothing. I'm just waiting to see what he has to say.
Okay.
Wasn't
so
too bad, right? I mean,
do you have to say about Gary Vee? That it's just that
he caused a ripple in this universe that I don't think is too good.
Right.
Because of too many people thinking they're experts now.
Right.
Everybody's an expert at something.
Right.
Where's the humbleness to come say I don't know anything? At least. Say that you don't know anything first instead of everybody's claiming to be an expert and they're not. And then
you could be positive about it. He gave people
confidence. Inspired. Listen,
he's allowing people or helping people find like confidence in themselves.
No, he did. Like he's inspired. I'm sure he inspired a lot of people. Look, you see, I'm not going to disagree. I don't disagree at all.
I'm leaving anyway. Go ahead.
Where are you going?
Continue. I have to get our daughter.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget about that.
I feel like I agree with you because I've said even on stage, like these people Google one article and then like you got doctors like, when I took our daughter to the pediatrician a couple of months ago, the doctor's like, oh, do you want to get her vaccinated? And I was like, you tell me, what the fuck? Why are you even asking me that? You know what I mean? Like,
dude,
you have to have trust in some experts. And it's like, whatever you believe, vaccination is just one example, but whatever it is you believe in is what you believe in. But it's also like, you have to have faith, but they have to go to school and do all that. Somebody who's an expert on TikTok, because they read an article, what Gary Vee is promoting, I agree, is like, what is this? You know what I mean?
It's an overflow of that. And it's just, I think it hurts a lot more than, because then you have other people that'll look up to these people that aren't experts, and then they have a following, and now this non-expert has a following of a million people, and now they have a certain power over a large portion of people, and that's
news.
Dangerous.
That's
dangerous
because
you have these people that have, because power look over a history of time, and anytime somebody gets power, it's almost like a toxic drunk.
Of course,
it gets to your head,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're just, you know, you're like off with the head, and like if you have the power,
yeah.
And there's these people that grew up with that power, and that's how they are in this world. And then there's people that just get the fame overnight, and then they start using their power to take down other people, like sure. The whole cancel culture thing, whatnot. Yeah. It's like it's these people have a following, and they're like, I'm gonna do you. Don't mess with me. I'll have my following. Attack you.
That's why, like in the words of Ric Flair, you can't fire me. I'm already fired. I love that.
I mean, how would you define an expert? To me, there's only really like maybe 5 or 10 on Earth. Elon Musk would be expert level.
Right.
Everyone else is just an asshole who knows some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They went to school for some stuff, and then they Googled some other stuff, and they formed some kind of opinion.
You have to dedicate
your life to the cause to be an expert. Like, and I almost feel like you have to die doing it to be an expert. So it's like the only experts who exist are dead. Like, you, if you're still living, you can't be an expert, dude. Yeah, here we go, too. Here it says back in the laws of 48 Laws of Power. It says, keep in mind the following. People trying to make a show of their authority are easily deceived by the surrender tactic. Your outward sign of submission makes them feel important, satisfied that you respect them. They become easier targets for a later counterattack, or the kind of indirect ridicule used by Brecht, who, you know, the story I gave before. And then this is an Ethiopian proverb. It says, when the great lord passes, the wise peasant bows deeply and silently farts.
This guy sounds like he has a lot of, like, but he's like he's secretly organizing a war or something.
No,
like,
he probably is. He says the essence of the surrender tactic, inwardly you stay firm, but outwardly you bend.
Yeah.
These are
war tactics.
Yeah, so dude, you're really good at that.
I'd love to watch this guy just grocery shop or something normal.
Yeah, he'll always look,
dude, much like Bitcoin, he says power is always in flux. Since the game is by nature fluid and an arena of constant struggle, those with power almost always find themselves eventually on the downward swing. That's why I'm bringing up your point before about like people get power and they do stuff, they eventually always start to go down and start to fall. Like nobody stays powerful forever, especially if you're abusing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then he says the last thing, there's always a rule reversal, which I love with him with this book. So he always tells you what to do. But then he was like, but there's always a moment when you don't have to do it. And the rule reversal. And this one is the point of surrendering is to save your hide for a later date when you can reassert yourself. It's precisely to avoid martyrdom. So he's basically saying, don't be a martyr. He's basically calling Joan of Arc and anyone else who's a martyr a fucking asshole. He's like, martyrdom, surrender's reversal, is a messy, inexact tactic and is as violent as the aggression it combats. For every famous martyr, there are 1,000 more have inspired neither a religion nor a rebellion. So that if martyrdom does sometimes grant a certain power, it does so unpredictably. More important, you're not around to enjoy that power as much. You're not around to enjoy the power at all. So he's basically saying, you know, there's been a few martyrs in history that have like died for their cause, and but most people just fucking get shot in the head.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's it. You never hear about them again. Now that, you know, I don't know.
But, I mean, that's what we have too many extremists. That's another thing. 100%. Too many people are too extreme with their beliefs.
Right.
It's like they read an article. People don't even read articles anymore.
No.
They just read they'll read the clickbait head title.
Right.
And they'll go to war with that.
Right.
They'll go to war. These people will die for politics.
For nothing. I know.
For over things that it's like, dude, I don't even know half of this stuff. Like, I don't even know politics that
much.
What
do you do for your mental health? What do you do? Because we do the Anxiety Tuesday swing. What do you do for mental health? Do you treat your mental health in any way?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I train of not caring. Like, when thoughts come in, I've always done this when I was younger too. It's like when thoughts come in that I don't really like, I change the channel. That's kind of the way that I look at it. Cause you have control. It's not easy. I'm sure it's easier said than done.
Right.
Right. But I try to do that. And I just try to relax, man. And just, I don't take things too serious. I don't take life too serious. I never got offended in my life. I don't know what that's about. I don't know how people even get offended. I just don't understand what that's about. Because
same with me.
To me, it's like if somebody says something to you and it makes you feel a certain way, you allow that to happen. So what that means is that you just become a slave to that person's words.
Yeah, and even like with that, like again, I know like I'm white and white privilege, and I'm aware of all that stuff. But even like what cultural stuff, like if you said something about whatever, making fun of my culture or whatever, being Italian or German or whatever, I would never get offended at that because I know that whatever I think my culture is, 600, 700, 800 years ago wasn't my culture. Whatever my culture is today was just raped and pillaged into my great, 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 great grandparents by the conqueror. So culture is one of those things that's fluid too. It's like we're all human beings. That's the culture. Like you don't own that hairstyle or that dialect or that food. It's all constantly changing and people get so wrapped up on you're a cultural appropriating. It's like that's just, you can't appropriate culture because it's always changing.
Yeah, that's what art pretty much is. I mean, it's going to constantly involve society.
Yes.
And that's why civilization's art had a big impact in a lot of that stuff. And I think it still does. It kind of changed the trajectory. Look at Elon Musk and his truck that he created. Now,
the Tesla?
Yeah, yeah. That truck, like the design, I don't listen.
Oh, the Roadster or something like that?
It doesn't look too great.
Let's see. But
this is like if this picks up and picks on, like everybody would be driving things that look like that. So that would change the trajectory of the way everything looks, the scenery and outside.
Because Tesla wouldn't be the only one who makes that. Then all of a sudden Jeep's making that. Mercedes is making that, of course. Yeah. No, it's true. It all changes. I mean, and I feel like it all comes back though now, right? Like even like the Ford Bronco is coming back out now next year. And it's like, that was a car from the 90s. They stopped making that. Now it's back. So you wonder if like the old school
cars. I think these things repeat. Like,
didn't
bell bottoms come back for like a short time? I don't remember. Like in the early.
Didn't our bell bottoms back? Were women or no? Yeah. Really?
And like mom, like they have like the mom hot, like the hot high stuff.
Mom,
I don't know.
Mom
like
waist jeans.
That's like from the
80s. I don't know. I just wear whatever the hell I want to wear. So if I want to wear.
No, what you do is you wear my clothes. That's how I know I was wearing.
Well, now I have to.
I know. Well, that's how I know my Lululemons are too tight. Because sometimes I'll come out of the house and or come home and she's wearing my clothes. Yeah, dude, I know, man. It's fascinating. Fascinating stuff. It's called the Tasmanian.
I'm not a big fan of that. The thing is, they are insanely fast, the Teslas with the motors. They do like 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
And you also can't hear them.
They're just boom. So that's, I mean, we're going to get hit by more cars.
Yeah,
that's how
much.
That's going
to
work.
That's another thing. Everybody, that's why we're going to go to autonomous driving. That's going to be, listen, I want to drive my own car all the time. It's going to be safer.
Right.
Because, you know, it's going to be safer if everything is on a system and the cars drive themselves.
Right.
There's going to be some people that are going to have to die testing it out. And that's what's happening.
That's what
these are the people that are like, they're good. I mean, it's not for me. I wouldn't do it. I'm not testing.
Right.
I'm not testing co-pilot and going to sleep in the car while I'm going to work.
No,
not going to do that. That's not going
to
be me.
Would you go to Mars? Now Elon Musk just went to, you know, we got the first thing on Mars. Would you go to Mars in a few years?
I don't know. I don't know about that trip, man.
What if you had 10 Bitcoins and you could afford to go? Would you go?
If there's a way back, did they say you could come back or they don't have that yet?
We
got to go there and stay?
What are they saying?
He said it's not meant for rich people. It's going to be pretty miserable up there.
So what is it? So what does he want? Who does he want to send out there?
He's going
to
send
ISIS?
I don't know. He wants to get it really built up before it becomes like an attraction.
So when we landed on Mars, when that thing landed on Mars, the rover or whatever, a couple of days ago, like that, is it going to start building stuff now there? Is it starting to set up camp there?
I don't know if that one, but that's his plan, is to have stuff set up. So by the time people get there, they can survive.
Yeah, but are people going to have to go there to set it up, or is machines going to set it all up? That's my question.
There's always going to be like the pilgrims that go there first.
Yeah,
you know
these
I mean?
These. Listen, man, I all for those people. We need those people in society because I wouldn't do that. I'm not
I don't
doing that.
Do that.
I'm going to sit home and do what I do. I'm not. Yeah. You know what? You go to Mars.
I want to. Yeah.
You tell me how it is. You go there. Tell me how it is. And if it sounds good, then maybe I'll come.
Yo, let's do a podcast on Mars at patreon.com/ChristyComedy. That's the only. Well, we're going to kind of do that when we go to Arizona. We're going to Arizona this week, and we're going to go to Sedona and do a podcast. So that's going to look like freaking Mars.
Might be. I mean, that might be where the rover is at right now. Who knows? Does Mars even exist? I don't know.
I don't believe it, dude.
There? I haven't been there. I've never even seen it. I have no idea.
Vinny, go
man.
Get my gun. We're going to do this live suicide right on air. Where can people find you, Tristan? What
Tristan Rego. My Instagram. That's all I have.
That's all we all have. That's all anybody has is at Tristan Rego on Instagram. Go follow him. Patreon.com/ChristyComedy. Thanks so much for the support. ChristyComedy.com everywhere. Check out Hey Babe. Check out when Vinny puts up her Patreon, which is going to be coming up soon, right? Okay. Well, as soon as she gets approved, because it's over 18 content, she's making explicit workout videos. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Don't say that.
We'll edit it out. I was kidding around.
They're real workout videos.
They genuinely are real workout videos. Go check out our YouTube, Jazzy Method, me, Christy Comedy, Homeless Pimp, as always. Love you. Tristan, this was great, bro.
Pleasure, man. Pleasure. Okay, love great. It. We're going to do that thruple.
We're going to do the thruple tour. We talked about it when you were in the back. We're going to do the thruple tour. You're going to come out and start the show. You're going to get everyone in a big group fitness class. Maybe if we get real money, if we get Oprah money, everyone's chair is going to turn into a spin bike where they mine Bitcoins. And then we're going to come out and do stand up. And then we're going to end the show with the three of us getting interviewed by Dr. Drew. See ya.
Group therapy.